Well, clearly a lot of you want free tickets to Keith Urban because now till 8 o'clock you have a chance to win Keith Urban if you text your first and last name and include what made you feel good this weekend. What did you do? Tell me something good about your weekend and include your first and last name. 1-877-300-7275. Those who do go into the hat for the grand prize draw to be made by my producer Frank just after the 8 o'clock news. Keith Urban tickets for free. Concert sold out this Saturday night at the Brandt Center. And Aaron at Swift Current said he took his daughter to see her cousin play at a hockey tournament on Saturday. Yeah, lots of hockey going on this time of the year. Kim said she and her granddaughter were at Wascata Park Pool, which is still open till the end of the month. Tell me something good about your weekend. 1-877-300-7275. If you do it before 8 o'clock, include your first and last name. You'll go in the draw for free tickets to Keith Urban. Well, our Grey Cup champ, Green Zone analyst Belton Johnson, had a football feast on the weekend. It started with the Riders and, of course, NFL Sunday. I'll even comment on that with my buddy here, Belton, joining me now. But let's first go revisit that game against Winnipeg, beating them 21-13. What'd you think, buddy?
Well, the thing I thought is, you know, again, the first half there, the game started off slow, right? And then, you know, you get to the third quarter, I think the Bombers were up 13-12. Brett Lawther missed the extra point, but who cares about that, right? and then, you know, the turning point I felt like was when Zach Collaros, you know, got knocked out of the game there by C.J. Revis. But, you know, at the end of it, it was Brett Lawther. He was, what, 5-for-5 field goal kicking. The Riders needed every bit of those points, right? And, again, it was the Rider defense, especially the secondary. They had, what, 4 interceptions there, Greg?
Yeah, it was an awesome defensive game again. Brett Lawther, 5-for-5, as you mentioned, wasn't perfect, missed that convert. But was it enough to set a statement to fans calling for him to be replaced? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you go 5-for-5 like that, I mean, you never – last year, remember, he hit that streak there, 22 or something straight. So, hey, he lived to fight another day with this one, Greg.
Pretty relevant, positive steps for Brett. A lot of those kicks at the end of the game were very relevant, and he was 83%. So I want to take us back to what you mentioned there. Zach Collaros knocked out of the game on what was deemed roughing the passer by C.J. Revis. That impacted the game a lot, too, with Strebler coming in. Was that roughing the passer to you?
I didn't think so, Greg. I know Jamie's, you know, a blow to the head or something, but I didn't think that was a blow to the head, man. That was, you know, C.J. Revis, I thought it was perfect, right? You know, it didn't like he tried to spear the guy or anything. His head was up, you know, wrapped up. He didn't drive him to the ground or anything, right? And I didn't like that call at all.
Yeah, there was contact, but it didn't seem like a headshot to me. For the third time this season, though, Zach knocked out of the game. TSN's Milt Stegall said, quote, "As far as Zach goes, I'm going to look at it from a standpoint of, that was my son, he wouldn't step on the field again," Milt said. Stegall said he's retired. That's it. He's never playing another down of football. So what do you think? Should the 37-year-old quarterback call it quits? Keep it in mind, we don't even know if that was officially deemed a concussion yet, but what are your thoughts?
Even when he was here with the Riders, right, I had said that back then, like, he shouldn't be playing, and he went on to win a couple great cups and everything, right? And, you know, for him to lay out on the ground like he did there, you know, for a few seconds, you know, it looked kind of scary to me, Greg. And I still say he should probably be done with football, but, you know, it's going to be his decision.
What do you think, champ, of the NFL Sunday? Man, I watched Aaron Rodgers. He had four touchdowns.
I was like, God dog it, I should have picked him up in my fantasy league.
Yeah, he showed his old club. The Steelers wound up winning 34-32, the final. And the game of the night last night, game of the day, I think. What did you think of the Bills rallying from coming from behind to beat the Ravens 41-40?
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you, Greg. I thought the game was over with when the Ravens were, what, I think 40-25,
yes.
Right, or somewhere. And, you know, looking at the time on the clock, I'm like, kids, we got to go to bed. We got school. This game is over. I wake up this morning at 4 o'clock. I'm like, what the heck happened?
They rallied from 15 points down, 41-40, and it all came down. No time on the clock. Stunning it was. Belton Johnson. Thank you so much, buddy. Well, Rick Davies, co-founder of Supertramp, has died. He died Friday on Long Island after a long bout with cancer. He was 81. He wrote and sang many of Supertramp's well-known songs. Here's just a few that he sang and wrote.
Now they're planning the crime of the century. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Sweet devotion. Stop for me. Just keep the motion.
Rick Davies went off and share vocals with Roger Hodgson. And the band has noted the Davies have been battling cancer for over a decade, in fact. And they said as a co-writer along with partner Roger, he was the voice, piano player behind Supertramp's most iconic songs, leaving an undeniable mark on rock music history, right? He added his soulful vocals. He played the Wurlitzer, and that became the heartbeat of the band's sound, too. And pen hits like you heard there, Bloody Well Right, Crime of the Century, and Goodbye, Stranger. We also said goodbye to Ken Dryden on the weekend. And, man, when I was a kid playing hockey, every time one of us took a turn and goal, we would channel our Ken Dryden standing
okay.
there. I think you know the stance I'm talking about. All tall, calm, leaning on that stick as the play went down to the other end. That pose stuck with me as a kid. And so did Ken Dryden.
I love playing hockey. I'd love hockey in driveways and backyards, in streets and outdoor arenas. I loved it in college with the national team and in the NHL. It's a game I'll never leave.
Dryden passed away at the age of 78 on Friday. And while the man left us, I don't think his legend ever will leave. In his 78 years, he was a lot of things. Best goalie of his era, backstop Canada in the most famous game in its history. Dryden shared Canada's net with Tony Esposito in the 1972 Summit Series, owning the disaster in Game 1 at the Forum as much as he enjoyed the results of Game 8 in Moscow.
Dryden played it back to the goal. The game is over, and Canada have won the series.
Dryden provided color commentary on hockey broadcasts, became an author, earned a law degree, became president of an NHL team. He was elected to Parliament, served as a cabinet minister, wrote more books in his later years, lobbied tirelessly to make the game he loved safer in his quest to curtail brain injuries. Definitely more than just a hockey player. It's quite a resume.
And the Montreal Canadiens race out onto the ice to congratulate rookie goaltender Ken Dryden.
At 6'4", Phil Esposito once labeled him a thieving giraffe. He played 8 seasons, winning 5 Vezina trophies and 6 Stanley Cups with the Canadiens, including 4 straight, to end the decade before retiring at the age of 31. Did I mention Dryden also took the 73-74 season off to article for a Toronto law firm? Ken Dryden. He gave us more than wins. He gave us that famous pose and a standard I don't think many hockey fans will ever forget.
I never thought I was going to make the NHL. It just seemed an impossibility. The NHL was something that appeared on Saturday nights on television.
Ken Dryden, gone at the age of 78. And I think beyond his greatness on the ice, he was just a remarkable person, too. And the whole hockey community is going to miss him dearly. All right, this is it. Your last chance to win free tickets to see Keith Urban. I'm cutting this off at 8 o'clock. Text 1-877-300-7275. Tell me something good about your weekend and include your first and last name. That's it. How to win, okay? 1-877-300-7275. Audrey in Lumsden said she took in the 75th anniversary of Sask Abilities. Amazing speakers, 500 people there. And yeah, the real district was packed. It was crazy. Audrey, you're in the draw. Good luck to you and everyone else that's texting now. You're in the draw as well. Hope you had a great weekend. I know somebody in this province is $5 million richer from Saturday's Lotto 649 draw. So if you had a ticket, might be worth checking that one out. This morning, my friend John Bailey, who is CEO from the Regina Food Bank, is joining me now because the Regina Food Bank and the Greater Vancouver Food Bank have recently come together to share alike, if you will. I want to thank you first for being here, John, but this sort of sounds like two food banks taking the old attitude of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's pretty close to what we're doing. What we've sort of realized between conversations between both our food banks is we have an abundance of sort of crops that come from our part of the world, but they're not necessarily abundant if we sort of go across the country. So for us, we have an incredible selection of pulses, grains, oats, that kind of stuff. And for them, they have a lot of garden vegetables coming out of the ground almost year round. We realized we have a lot of this and you have a lot of that. Maybe we can trade off and make sure there's more to go around for everybody.
How innovative is this plan to share? Is this an original idea or did you find it from some other food banks that have been doing it?
From what we can tell, we're the first to sort of do this sort of idea of, like, food goes across Canada and the food bank network all the time, but this is the first time that sort of there's been a real focus on locally grown product going into different markets to serve different city populations. So in that respect, it's really unique. And the other thing is just the way we're handling logistics. It's sort of like a truck goes out full and it comes back full, and we're no sort of no wasted energy or effort, making sure everything's sort of getting there as quickly and efficiently as possible.
So what are you sending and what are you receiving?
So what we've sent out is oats, lentils, some of our packaged soup product that we produce here locally, as well as some pastas. Vancouver, and what we're getting from them is tomatoes, zucchinis, carrots, potatoes, those types of things to help sort of fill up our fresh part of the pantry and help supplement some of their dry good needs. And like I said, making sure that we're matching needs with needs.
Well, that's awesome. So no one has looked upon this as saying, like, what are you doing giving it to them? Because the trades are equal, right?
The trades are 100% equal. So it's 45,000 pounds coming to us and 45,000 pounds going out to them. And again, it doesn't mean there's any less for the folks in Regina. It just means we have a little bit of a surplus and they have a little bit of a surplus. So rather than have that be a problem, we turn it into an opportunity and we think it's a way to serve both our communities better.
John Bailey from the Regina Food Bank. And still, it's cost effective, right? Like the cost to truck it back and forth. It's still worth it?
Absolutely. The total cost for trucking was about $6,000. If we look at the sort of rough market value of the product moving back and forth, it was about $250,000. So really, really cost effective. And honestly, if we're looking at a sort of return on investment in terms of what both organizations are getting for sort of a $6,000 cost outlay.
Well, this is awesome, buddy. It's so innovative. Has the phone rung at all from others who have caught on to what you're doing and asking for advice?
They are, and we're happy to provide it. I think one of the things that animates both us and Vancouver is this idea of Canada as a nation produces more than enough food to feed the entire population, but one in four Canadians are food insecure. So there's a distribution problem, not a food problem. So if we can build a playbook that helps others out and gets us going, and we start to see more and more of this, and it becomes more and more standard business as opposed to a one-off, that would be an incredible outcome of this project.
Do you see it maybe one day getting to the point where, hey, you're trading with Vancouver, or it could be Manitoba? Could that be happening all at once?
That's our hope. I mean, we're in conversations with Winnipeg, with Calgary, with Edmonton, and obviously working currently with Vancouver. And then as we sort of get the sort of Prairie and West region figured out, I'm hopeful that we can start figuring out how it will work as we go further east as well into Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes there.
Well, it's great. The Regina Food Bank numbers don't seem to be going down, so whatever you can do to keep the shelves full, it seems to be working, and you're to be commended, you and the team there, for figuring this out.
I appreciate it, and that's just it. Again, we always sort of say no food bank wants to get bigger, but we're going to do what we need to meet the needs of our community, and this is just one more way we're doing that.
John, thanks so much for the update.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for giving me a call.
Well, you're going to hear that on Saturday night if you're going to the Keith Urban concert. It's one of his biggest hits. I remember seeing Keith, I don't know, probably a good dozen years ago for the first time. And once I saw him in concert, I realized I got to become a fan. That guy is an amazing musician. If you've never seen his concerts before, that's the first thing you're going to notice. Like, you can't believe how exciting he is just to listen to playing the guitar. His band is, like, amazing. And hit after hit, and that's probably why it's pretty much sold out at the Brand Center. There are a few scattered single tickets here and there and some verified resales, but It's going to be packed at the Real District on Saturday, not only because of the concert, but also there's a football game, right? Montreal is in town, and parking will be at a premium at the Real District. But I also have free tickets every day for Keith Urban this week, and today is no exception. As a matter of fact, I was inviting you to text, tell me something good about your weekend. So many of you did just that. I thank you from all the responses. We put them in a hat, and Frank tells me that Jason Darby has won Keith Urban tickets. My producer, Frank, drew this name. Let's see, what did Jason Darby tell us? So he and the kids cheered his wife on, who had her personal best at the Queen City Marathon on Sunday. It was great weather. Proud of her, too. We're proud of it, of her as well, too, Jason. And congratulations. We'll hook you up with those tickets to Keith Urban. If you missed out today, try again tomorrow morning, of course. More tickets for Keith Urban. It's Monday. Fall arriving in 2 weeks. I know some of the fall colors are starting to show. I was out of Pasqua Lake over the weekend, and in the valley, they're slowly starting to turn. Some of you a little sore this morning from that Queen City Marathon. Perhaps, maybe not today, but maybe by tomorrow, we'll be walking like Frankenstein as you stiffen up even further. And I hope you had a good race. And by all accounts, it was a pretty good Queen City Marathon again this year. And of course, our riders winning for the first time in 7 years in Winnipeg. They won the Banjo Bowl, and 21-13 was the final. Lots of Rider fans weighing in on the Green Zone about how excited they were. And the play of Brett Lothar, here's one.
Lothar, yeah, he's got the yips right now. But, and I have to say, when he was kicking, I did have anxiety sitting in my chair watching it. But I think he's gonna come back, and he's going to be okay. You don't just turn into a bad kicker one day. Something's going on with him, and he needs to fix it and get back to his old ways. I think he'll just be fine.
Well, many thought he looked good. 5 for 5 on field goals. He missed the convert, but perhaps he's going to turn it around. I know last year in September, he started really growing stronger too, but I'm still not sold, personally. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I love him, but I'm still not sold yet. But nonetheless, those were some pretty crucial field goal attempts, too, that helped us win there, too. Coach Mace, pretty pleased overall with that game.
We knew what this kind of place was for opponents coming in here. It's not an easy place to play. And, you know, we're just trying to write our own deal and what we think, what we're capable of. I'm proud of the guys just to come in here and win this one. That was the only focus.
10-2. They're 10-2. It's extraordinary how well the Riders are playing. And next up, Montreal this Saturday, as I mentioned, at Mosaic Stadium. And I have to agree with Murray Wood's commentary. If it's not sold out on Saturday, something's wrong. There, you know what? Winning puts bums in the stands, and they are winning big time right now. So pretty exciting time to be a Rider fan. Jamie Nye and Locker will be back on the Green Zone this afternoon. Jamie already calling this the game of the year. Well, it was pretty stunning. The Bills were down 15 points at one time, and Belton Johnson was on the show earlier. He said that's when he went to bed. He thought it was over. But Josh Allen led Buffalo to 3 scores in the final 4 minutes, and that 32-yard field goal as time expired. Bears, Minnesota, tonight at Monday Night Football.